We're reading from Isaiah this morning, 55, and it's an invitation to the thirsty. Come all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and ye who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made you a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander to the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not. And nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. The word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone, again. It's good to be back together after some of you have been away for holidays or just hunkering down for this season. We've come back together with our new series in the Epiphany season called The Waters of Life. Already had lots of preparation for this time, lots of allusions to the waters of life in our songs and in our interview. We are looking at scriptures that will trace the theme of life-giving waters in the whole of the Bible with an emphasis on baptism. And today is the official Sunday of the year, which I like to call Beloved Sunday, but it's the Sunday we remember Jesus' baptism and the beginning of his ministry. So it's a day to remember our own baptism as well, and that we are God's beloved. Last week, I took a few days on Bowen Island for a short retreat at the Hermitage. Usually, I spend time there in the summer, so it was different for me to be there during the winter. And one unusual thing that I noticed is that we woke up to the sound of rushing water from the creek in the forest nearby, because in the summer, it's usually just a little trickle. It's so dry, you can't hear it. But the sound of rushing waters. It was so delightful. It was like being filled with life-giving, flowing, abundant, constant, enlivening waters, reminding me of the vitality of God's being, of our life source. And the cool thing is that this prayer book that I happened to be reading that first morning highlighted a verse from Jesus who said in the Gospel of John, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. Out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. A metaphor for the Spirit of Christ within us, within the church, within the world. Now, last week, Drew brilliantly gave us a fulsome description of the foundational story for the Hebrew people crossing the reeds or Red Sea in the book of Exodus, and he connected it to the baptism of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark. We don't have time in this series to look at all the scriptures that connect to the waters of life. Today, we're already reading from the book of Isaiah, only our second Sunday in. However, I want to give a snapshot of some of the texts before Isaiah 55. In the beginning stories, way before Exodus story last week, in the creation stories, there's this first appearance of the river of life. So if you can put the first slide up. And if someone wants to read this out loud, just where you're seated, so it's not just my voice, go ahead. Thank you. So here in the very beginning garden, we note the river of life begins. The river of life given as gift. The river of life flows throughout the scriptures and pops up, as I said, in various places. The next scripture is the next slide in Psalm 1. We read about this river again. Someone can read out what's on the slide. Thank you. And then in the book of Isaiah, which we are in today, references the waters of life many times to indicate the hope and promise of life to come for the Hebrew people who were scattered by other nations and living in exile. So Isaiah 35 reads this. Anyone can read it. And the next verse in Isaiah 43.
But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you.
And the next slide. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing now. It springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. So we see this metaphor of the waters of life used to indicate God's life force that brings hope and flourishing, and that God is Lord over the waters of life, so we need not be afraid, which are the ways that we experience water in our life, as a life-giving source and also as a power that can bring death. We saw in last week's story, and we hear it again in these Isaiah passages. We know the story well when we get to the New Testament of Jesus calming the stormy seas. This is a very brief overview of the waters of life. So Isaiah 55, our text for today, has two references to the waters of life. Immediately in the first verse as an invitation to come to the waters, and then later on in verse 10, the author talks about rain and snow watering the earth, both metaphors for us to reflect on who God is. Feel free to open up your scriptures, if you haven't already, to Isaiah 55 to follow along. The first verse reads, "Come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters." It's a generous invitation that indicates an invitational God, a welcoming God, a generous God, a God who offers goodness and life. That's what the water symbolizes. And the invitation is expanded immediately to the following verses, offering not only water, but bread, wine, and milk at no cost, with no money and no labor. The only requirement for receiving these gifts is that you have a desire for it, is that you are thirsty, that you are hungry. And what are you thirsty and hungry for? It isn't for literal water or bread or wine or milk, but these are metaphors for what truly brings satisfaction. And that is, as the text unfolds, our relationship with our Creator God. Chapter 55 in the book of Isaiah is part of what the theologians call 2nd Isaiah. For some context, this is how things might be understood. The first part of the book of Isaiah, chapters 1 to 39, is called 1st Isaiah. It's roughly compiled during the Assyrian crisis, the scattering of northern Israel in the 8th century BC. Then these chapters, 40 to 55, theologians call 2nd Isaiah. It's compiled 2 centuries later during the Babylonian crisis, when the southern kingdom of Israel was scattered, was taken into exile. And then third Isaiah is chapter 56 and onwards to the end, a century later, when the Persian Empire sent back the Hebrew remnant to rebuild Jerusalem. So as far as we can tell, roughly reading this material, it is during the Babylonian exile. And this is the final chapter of the second book of Isaiah, chapter 55. It's a finalizing chapter of hope and promise. It's a huge invitation from God to remember God has offered them a covenantal relationship, a faithful relationship that God has not forgotten. Just as rain and snow water the earth and yields a harvest of food, so God's promise, or God's word, this covenant will yield harvest someday. So much so that all of creation will be restored, as we read later on in verse 12. The mountains and hills will be singing. The trees will even clap their hands. Where there are thorns and briars, the land will be restored into a forest of pine and myrtle trees. So these would be refreshing words to hear, words of hope. In fact, these chapters 40 to 55, the second Isaiah, is called the Book of Consolation. Refreshing words to hear, but also perhaps difficult words to believe, given the circumstances the Hebrew people were in at this time. Politically, they were in exile in Babylon. This is an invitation here from God to be formed into the kind of people who do not abandon listening and seeking God when their life circumstances go sideways. Now, these scriptures can also be read for us today as a promise for the new creation to come. Also for us, consoling words, perhaps as well difficult to believe. Again, it's an invitation from God to be formed into the kind of people who do not abandon listening and seeking God when our life circumstances go sideways. For example, when large empires start invading and oppressing other nations, or even our own as well. So we go back to the beginning verse, come. All you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and drink, come buy and eat. Commentators share that the way these verses are written, they use the same language a merchant seller in a Middle Eastern marketplace would have used. So yelling out to the crowds, come, if you're thirsty, come buy wine and milk. But where it differs is what this merchant is selling. Because it's not a normal exchange of goods for labor or goods for money, we're quickly invited to move deeper into the well of our souls and ask, what really brings about life satisfaction? especially for our modern consumeristic ears? Are we satisfied with accumulating things and securing ourselves with possessions? Quickly, the merchant lures us into reflecting on what we are really thirsting after. One of my favorite theologians, Catholic theologian Ronald Rollheiser, writes in his book, Holy Longing, that all desires are really a desire or thirst for God. And I'm mixing metaphors in this next quote that I'm offering, but I think you will get the point. This is what Rollheiser says. This is the next slide. Spirituality is about what we do with the fire inside us, about how we channel our eros. And how we do channel it, the disciplines and habits we choose to live by, will either lead to a greater integration or disintegration within our bodies, minds, and souls. You know, often we misdirect what will satisfy our thirsty souls, and we place it in places that cause disintegration rather than integration, rather than recognizing what we are truly thirsting for. Now, he's not meaning we don't need real water and real bread. We do need food, we do need homes, we do need community, we do need people, and we do need God. We're created to be in relationship with our loving Creator through and beyond these things. This thirst for meaning and connection cannot be satisfied with substitutes. Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear, come to me, hear me, that your soul will live. Some scholars have pointed out that in this second book of Isaiah, in this book of consolation, something called reverence theology, that the prophetic writer or writers are encouraging us to give up our claims of self-sufficiency and control and to receive God's invitation for relationship. The themes of this chapter here, especially in these verses, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, are about this, and I quote a commentator, God's towering mystery dwarfing humanity and draws us to recognize our finitude, our frailty, our dependence on God and each other. Ultimately, the mystery of God is not found in the marketplace, in reason, in science, although those things can hold and point to God's goodness. God's mystery is more than that. So I grew up in this rainforest landscape my whole life, and I've not been particularly open to the amount of water that comes down from heaven 9 months out of our year. This kind of water, this constant rain, brings up feelings such as loneliness, depression, feeling trapped. But one day, fairly recently, maybe a few years ago, I heard a different voice coming from the rain. And I listened to the waters. Come to the waters, I heard. And the voice that emerged was love. I heard from the rain that it was a gift from God, and that even the gray sky was really creation showing love and care. Now, I can't really explain how I heard this. I know that in dry places and in dry climates around the world, one can reasonably understand rain, that we need it to survive, we need it to grow food, to quench our thirst. However, we don't viscerally experience that here in this rainforest that we live in. And even as I was writing this week, I was listening to the pounding rain on the roof of our apartment's skylight window for hours on end. It must have been another atmospheric river. Yet that day, I heard the voice of these showers saying, "These are waters of love. The love story of creation telling me I am sent from a loving and create caring God of the universe. So I'm trying to listen to the rain. I'm trying to listen deeper to the waters. I'm trying to come closer and closer to our Creator God and the invitations of this Creator God from the wild around us. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And what are you thirsty for? Can you find that invitation from Creator God calling to you? What is that body of water in creation that speaks to you about your thirst? This chapter of Isaiah 55 is this constant invitation to come with your ears open, to listen, to come to the Creator God, to hear. Come to the waters. Come to the waters. Listen. Listen to me. The invitation here is not to listen to a God who is angry. God is not accusatory or judgmental here. The invitation here in chapter 55 is overwhelmingly a wooing. It's a listen to the call to be in covenantal relationship with our triune, our relational God. Now, Malcolm, my husband, has been in New Zealand, where he is from, for the past 2 weeks, and will be there for another week more. Last week, just as I was coming home from Bowen Island and reflecting on the waters of life from that abundant rushing creek, he sent me a video of a natural spring that he had visited. He's visiting a friend in a town that's really famous for their natural hot and cold springs. And just to say, whenever I've experienced water in New Zealand, I just think it's pure water. Like, there's no evil in this land. The original Rivendell is there, of course. Anyways, Malcolm was so elated about this natural spring that he saw. It welled up all of this clear water that he'd never seen before, and it created this beautiful flowing river of life. I'm going to show you this video. I don't know how well you could see it. It's just from his phone. Probably doesn't capture everything he saw, but it was really weird because he was quoting the same verses that I kept thinking about on Bowen Island and that our water series is on this season. So I think I wanted to share it with you all. He's with his friend Jolinda, who is the reason he went to New Zealand this time around. She's a lifetime friend who doesn't have much life left in her on Earth anymore. She is struggling with cancer, which is always another invitation to reflect on what truly satisfies. So she says in this video, it's an invitation to become quieted, to come close, to listen to our Creator God through the waters of life. So let's watch this.
It's me, and we are at this place where there's a spring, and you can look over here, and it's just land, there's nothing over here, and you look down here, and you see a river. Where is the river coming from? The river is coming from this spring. It's 15 meters deep, and it is just sending this fresh water up constantly, and this is when I saw this, it's like the image in the gospel of Jesus saying the water he will give is becomes in someone like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And here it is, here's a spring of water welling up, just constantly welling up. And it is so beautiful. I don't know if this recording shows how beautiful it is, but the water is so clear. It's unbelievably clear. Jolinda, do you have anything to add?
Oh, just that feel through my skin. Where are we?
Hamudana Spring.
Hamudana.
Yeah.
Hamudana. So, I mean, it feels like a really, really special place.
Thinking of you, yeah.
Yeah.
So last year on Beloved Sunday, I doused everyone with water to remember our baptism. I'm not going to do it yet. We won't do it today, but hopefully when we baptize some of you later on this year, we're going to all remember our baptism. But I do want to end with just some pouring out of real water, and I hope that we can hear it all and it doesn't just make you need to go to the washroom. But may this pouring out of real water be a reminder this week to encounter and listen to the waters. So whenever you encounter water, in the wild, in your home, listen to that voice of God calling you, come to the waters. When Jesus experienced his baptism, the waters of baptism, the voice of God that came to him through the waters was this voice, "You are my beloved. I'm pleased with you." So today we're called to listen to the voice of God, which is the voice of love speaking. So I invite you to practice listening to this voice as I pour this water out. I invite you to come close to God, come close to the waters to find true satisfaction. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, in the unsettled waters of the world today, let there be new birthings of your Spirit. In the unsettled waters of the world today, let there be new birthings of your Spirit. Help us to come to the waters to hear your voice and to follow. Amen.